Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello and happy summer, everyone. I am Kelly Newcomb, founder of Brave Parenting.
And I am Chelsea Heasel.
And we are so glad to be back with you today. We've passed Memorial Day, which means for most people, school is now finished. And if you're not done yet, most likely you will be done this very week.
And while the idea of summer always sounds magical and carefree, we know the reality is that summertime presents just its own set of challenges for parents, especially working parents. So even if you're blessed to be a stay-at-home parent, the freedom from school, routine, and responsibilities is quickly countered with complaints of boredom and hunger.
Yeah, hunger. Yeah, here's the deal. As we get started in this conversation about DVD players, which seems like an odd conversation to start with, but what happened over time, as we talk to parents, we've noticed this trend that has greatly distressed our hearts. And it is the apathy that parents feel when it comes to technology. It's this complete resignation to the allure of the screens. It's as if parents have sort of raised the white flag and declared their defeat, that they're not even going to fight the good fight anymore, because they recognize that they are powerless over the screen. Rather than fighting to keep kids' screen time limited, they are just choosing the peaceful relationship with their child that can come when there are no media restrictions and no boundaries or limits. I recently had a conversation with a mom who said dismissively about her 11-year-old son, "Well, he'll just be in his room playing video games all day."
Wow. That is quite disheartening to hear, kind of just like that level of detachment, because parents who feel this way are not just giving up on outdoor play and reading and healthy hobbies. They're abdicating their role of parenting and discipling and discipleship to the online world. They're giving it all up. I think a lot of us think that we're peacemaking by letting our kids have what they want and raising that white flag, like you said, Cal, but what we're actually doing is peace faking. I mean, any well-seasoned parent knows exactly what happens when that screen time ends or you try to take it away. And this peace faking keeps kids detached from reality as they just spend all day inside playing video games, they're on YouTube or maybe even social media. And when a parent surrenders to this as like this new normal, the child then becomes detached from their proper relationships with the parent. It's heartbreaking all around, and it all begins with peace faking.
Yeah. Yeah, and we say all this to encourage you to just continue to fight the good fight of screen time. Your hard work now of sort of policing and monitoring screen time and internet usage will really benefit the child later, because research has shown that the less screen time is equated with better mental health outcomes. I mean, furthermore, free play and boredom, we know, are better at developing a child's critical thinking and problem-solving skills, much more than any video game. Essentially, your hard now, the hard work, fighting that good fight right now will lead to their success later. But the opposite is equally true. Your easy now of just peace faking and letting them just have whatever they want and not fighting, that is going to lead to your child's difficulty later. However, so with all of that said, we know that sometimes the screen is a very good babysitter. And let's be frank, those of us who are 30 or 40 something, the screen was our babysitter when we grew up as well. Obviously, like, the programming was very different, but most of us cannot deny that we spent a lot of summer days watching television. So for parents who work, whether you work full-time, half the day, or maybe you work from home, or even you are a stay-at-home parent and you have one child or you have seven children, we know, regardless of any of those circumstances, that the screen can be beneficial. It can help you. It can babysit, it can distract, it can entertain, and sometimes we need that. So we absolutely get that point.
But while we get it, we also know that the media content consumed on the screen is far from neutral for a child. Video games, YouTube, streaming shows, all of it has either an algorithm using variable rewards to make kids want more, or it has a worldview agenda that likely counters the biblical worldview that you're trying to instill in your children. That's why we are here today to present you the case for the DVD player. So here's the deal, you guys. DVDs, and when we say that, we include Blu-ray in this list. They are an awesome technology that is still available to us today. And we can utilize it for the advantage that a screen brings without the disadvantages of algorithms, unknown worldview content, or even just the risks of exposure to pornography. I mean, the list is endless about what kids could get into if they're on screens all day long.
Yeah, that's right. DVD players, while we know they are certainly being replaced by streaming services, hey, they still exist. I still have one. Do you have one, Chelsea?
I do. It's amazing. I love my DVD player.
So before we make our case to you for why you should consider re-embracing this technology, let me first just tell you that I checked as of this morning that Amazon has DVD players. You can buy a regular DVD player for $35, which is like nothing. But you probably want a Blu-ray player because that's a little more practical. And that's about $65. So compared to what is spent on streaming services and maybe even inside video games and all that, I think it's a fair price to pay to provide a healthier screen time for your kids. So before you immediately say they don't even make these anymore, they certainly do, and they are quite affordable.
They do. Okay, so let's present our case for the DVD player. We've got 10 points of reasons why the DVD player is a better option for screen time. Number one, if kids can work an iPad or an Xbox, they can absolutely use a DVD player. So usability is not a problem. Point number two, DVD players allow screen time without the internet. You can turn off the internet, for example, while you're at work, so your child can choose to watch a DVD, read books, do a hobby, etc., instead of just spending all day consuming content online. Point number three, DVDs are still available for purchase, but better than that, most community libraries have DVDs for loan that you and your kids can go pick out. I could even add that you could pick up a few books while you're there, you know, read some, get some summer reading. And does Pizza Hut still do like the free pizza if you read 100 books? No, probably
not.
Wow,
that's really throwback to our childhood.
It is, isn't it?
Was that like the Book It program?
Something like that, man. It was so good. Or even if you don't have, you're not near a library or something, or maybe your library doesn't have DVDs, I can almost guarantee you that you could check someplace like resale shops, like Half Price Books, garage sales. You guys, maybe if you have an older neighbor, I'm sure they have stuff lying around in their house of old DVDs that they're not using.
I probably have hundreds of DVDs. So you find some Gen X person, so I'm 45, someone around my age guaranteed to still have hundreds of DVDs from their 20s and 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, we have like two big black CD cases. Like, you remember CD sleeves?
Yes, yes, we do. Those books with sleeves in there. Yeah, you can find definitely people who have DVDs that you could borrow.
Okay, so point number four. Parents can easily review the movie content for its appropriateness before allowing a DVD to be watched. Because if it's on DVD, chances are it has an IMB or a Common Sense Media review already online. Number five, a television is not handheld. This is such a huge point, you guys. The kids have to watch the DVD in a public space of the home, which automatically decreases isolation. The DVD can be watched together with siblings in a not so consuming sort of way, meaning they want to practice cartwheels or fold their laundry while they watch a movie, and they can do that.
Yeah. I would also maybe caveat that, say, I know that they make little portable DVD players. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the DVD player that hooks up to the television in your family room or living room, the main space of your house. We don't want to do the portable ones and then obviously aid that isolation. Okay, point number six in our case for the DVD player. There is no autoplay of the next episode or the next show that is available. Isn't that awesome? Once a movie ends, it's so much easier for the screen time to come to an end. Number seven, if a child gets bored watching a movie, it takes more work to manually go trade out the DVD in order to jump from one movie to another. But if they're on streaming content like Netflix or something, all they have to do is just tap the finger on the remote to sort of salve their attention. Now, granted, changing the DVD is not that much work. I get that. But at least it is some added friction compared to just tapping that remote. And I've seen my kids watch streaming television they literally will watch 10 minutes, they get bored, they jump to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, because they can, because they can. And so with the DVD, you don't have that option easily. All right, point number 8. Movies are not episodic. The whole plot is pretty much resolved in about 90 minutes. And kids don't feel the compulsion, right? Just as we said before, to watch the very next episode and the next episode after that until they have binged the entire thing. Now, the caveat I would give on that is that you can get on DVD like entire TV series. And I know that we, during COVID, rented a lot of TV series from the library. We borrowed those. I think Friends was one of them, which I didn't realize how terribly over-sexualized that show was. So,
oh, it's horrible.
I never watched it when I was young. I was too busy in college. But anyway, so we did rent one of the Friends seasons. And so that is episodic. And so they can kind of get into that sort of thing. But just general movies, what we think about DVD movies, we know they're anywhere between like 90 and 120 minutes. And so that whole plot wrapped up right in that time. Okay, point number 9. This is a great way to expose your kids to some of the awesome throwback classics. Not all of the sort of over-sexualized ideological pushes that are going on in today's movies. So this could be some of the old classic Disney. It could be E.T., Indiana Jones, Star Wars. I mean, there's tons of good old classic movies. Also, a lot of movies are based on books. So you could have your child read the book and then they get to watch the movie. That's a great motivation for them to be able to watch a certain movie is to read the book. Show them, ultimately, through this, what good media, good entertainment can be. Because compared to today's YouTube, which generally is producing shows of cliche, slapstick humor that I think is overall degrading of parents and elevating of the child to a position of authority, which just sort of wrecks everything anyway. So old DVDs can be good for producing character. Not all of them, of course, but certainly much better than what today's YouTube shows are doing. And point number 10, in the case for the DVD player, is there are piracy warnings, previews, and promotions that just sort of take forever and annoy you on DVDs that can further expose your child to opportunities for patience. And we want to take every opportunity we can to build patience.
Amen. I would agree with that one. Okay, so this is our case, you guys, for why families should lock up the Xbox, the PlayStations, the iPads, and even suspend their streaming services, save some money for the summer, and embrace the DVD player. Now, of course, if we were going to make a biblical case for the DVD player, we could go to Proverbs and the many directives for teaching and discipling children in the way that they should go. We could look at Ecclesiastes, where the exploration and the exploitation of all that is pleasurable is found to be futile and worthless. We could go to the fruits of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. So in order to cultivate patience and self-control in a child, there have to be boundaries and expectations for limits, and those limits have to be upheld. You have to hold your ground on them. Allowing limitless internet on a personal device all day, it doesn't cultivate godly character. Rather, it exposes them to the sinful ills of our heart, the immorality, the impurity, the idolatry, the envy, the jealousy, the divisiveness. All of those things come from within a man, as our Lord and Savior told us. So be strong, parents. Don't allow your child's desire to override what you know is best for them. Don't deceive yourself. Brace yourself for the whining and the complaining, while at the same time, for the peace of mind that you will gain knowing that strangers are not grooming your children on a video game or convincing your child to participate in a dangerous challenge to gain fame on TikTok.
Yeah, that's the truth. So if you accept this challenge of the DVD player, and we certainly hope that you do, here are some points to note from our tech expert, Ryan. So he says, first, and this is what we have long recommended, but I think it's been a while since we have made this point. If you have a smart TV, we never recommend that the smart TV is connected directly to the internet, because smart TVs are just fraught with security risks. We recommend a secondary device, such as an Apple TV or an Amazon Fire Stick, to be connected to the internet and then connect it to your TV to deliver streaming content that way. Having said that, however, really savvy kids who are bent on getting on the internet could connect your TV to your Wi-Fi or even to your neighbor's Wi-Fi to gain access. So if you have a smart TV, but you're using an Apple TV to connect that content, they could figure out how to directly connect the television to the internet via the Wi-Fi password. Which brings us to another point. Make sure that your neighbors have locked their Wi-Fi down with difficult passwords. This may not be something that you've ever considered having a conversation about with your neighbors, but my child once guessed our neighbor's password was their dog's name, and they were correct, and they were able to get on the internet. So, I mean, savvy. These are typically teenagers, of course. This is not young children. This is the older they get more savvy. They connect with their friends, and they talk about all the savvy ways that they can get around rules. Because the internet is that allure, right? It's that alluring. It's that addictive. It's that they just get so compulsive over using it. So make sure that you just talk to your neighbors. Make sure that their passwords are something difficult that cannot be easily guessed. Point number three from Ryan is, of course, if your child has a smartphone still at home for communication, be sure that phone has the appropriate limits. There's no point in limiting internet on the television so that they're only watching DVDs if they can then play games or get on social media or do whatever on the internet on their phone, especially like if you're at work all day. So make sure there's appropriate limits on the smartphone. Point number four from Ryan is if you want to turn the internet off totally to your entire house, it can be done, but it must be done at the router level. You must just actually turn the entire thing off through the router. But point number five, if you have, for example, home security cameras that if you're at work all day, maybe you're kind of watching your kids or making sure that there's no one coming to the house at the front door if you've got a security camera at your front door. And so obviously you need the internet on at your house in order for them to be active. You can then only turn off the devices such as the internet to the Apple TV or the internet to the iPad or the internet to the Xbox. You can do that, but it can be difficult depending on what type of router that you have. And so if you have questions about that, you can reach out. We can maybe help you with that. But really, you just have to kind of follow the directions on your router. As Ryan says, these device makers are not making it easy for parents. It's actually getting harder and harder for parents to be able to do these basic things that we used to once be able to do very easily. So with that said, Ryan says for point number six, physically taking devices like iPads and Xboxes away and locking them up is sometimes the easiest option that you can take. And I'm going to agree with that. Of course, that's what we did. Physically taking them, removing the temptation for your kids to even try and get around the limits or try and get that iPad onto the internet, lock them up in your bedroom or whatever you have to do. It just takes that temptation away. And then all of this to say is that this is so much easier when kids are younger. Again, the older and more tech savvy they get, the harder it becomes to keep them off the internet.
And just a few other tips from Kelly and I: have lots of alternative activities other than DVDs available. So you know what? Those books that we talked about from the library, crafts, blankets for forts, puzzles, toys, etc. It's the beginning of the summer. Maybe make some summer goals that your kids can try and achieve over the summer while they're not watching television. Point number two, encourage outdoor activities. These are generally safe without parental supervision. Maybe a treehouse is in your future this summer. I don't know. That might be fun.
Sprinklers. There's
sprinklers, man.
So easy.
Chores. Chores are a great alternative to watching DVDs or any sort of media consumption. Point number four, have conversations over dinner about what DVDs they watched and what they liked or disliked about them. Chances are you've probably already watched it as a kid because these are probably some throwbacks like Kelly mentioned. And you already have a good opinion about what you remembered from when you were a kid, and you can have some really awesome conversations. And our last tip, the technical nuances of accomplishing this points to the fact that the younger you begin teaching and enforcing the screen, media, and tech boundaries, the easier life is. It's not impossible to turn a child around who has been given open and unlimited access to the screen, but it is going to be difficult. It must begin with your repentance of what you've allowed and then reinforcing those boundaries and enforcing why they're necessary. It can't just be, give me your Xbox, I'm locking it up, and you only have access to DVDs now. It's really hard to own our part in our child's screen obsession and compulsion, but ultimately, if we've allowed it to get to an unhealthy point, We have to repent of that to our child. This is what we call inviting them into your repentance.
Yeah. I really can't emphasize that last point enough. The younger you start, the easier this is when they are teenagers. Once you've allowed all of this, it is super hard. And I know it's where a lot of parents just don't want to even try and turn back to make it better. But I'm telling you, it is worth it. I think that more and more parents are in this place than we would really like to admit, that they would like to admit. And I know it's hard. I think we've made a great case for the DVD player. And I know, as I consider, you know, all of this in my, now I'm grandparenting more than I am parenting, since my kids are almost all adults, I have opted for my grandchild to have a zero screen approach, because I've now seen a lot more than I did when my kids were growing up. I know in the wintertime, we did watch a DVD or two with my six-year-old granddaughter when it was like freezing cold and there was nothing to do outside. But otherwise, and this goes for you as grandparents, you know, consider like setting, like there is no screen time at Mimi and Granddaddy's house. That is the pattern that we have chose to set. And if you're just starting out and you've got young kids, you can choose to set that as your summertime pattern. And if you do, it will be easier later on. But we know it is hard. And we know that every family situation is unique and that all kids have different challenges. So for some parents, allowing video games, allowing more screen time that they would like, allowing maybe even social media, is a better alternative than something more dangerous, like wandering the streets doing drugs. Of course, that might be the extreme example, right? But for the majority of parents, this little bit of legwork of getting a DVD player or setting up new boundaries, setting up new limits in the house, the little bit of work that it's going to take to pull those personal screens away, it's really achievable. And we totally believe that this can be beneficial for so many families. So if you are struggling with screen time, this is for you.
Yes. And if you have any questions about how to make this happen, or if you have a success story that you want to share with us on how you did this, we would love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@braveparenting.net, because we love talking with people. Yes. And friends, be sure to share this podcast with other friends. Wouldn't it be awesome if everyone in your local community, in your little group, in your mom tribe, adopted this way, and you guys weren't the odd ones out, but rather you would have camaraderie with one another as they share what DVD they watched. Everything that we do is just so much easier in a community. So get more parents on board.
Yeah, absolutely. It is easier in community. All right, friends, that is what we have for you this week. Thank you for tuning in. Happy summer, everyone. And until next week, go and be brave.